This evening we are inaugurating the 17th Puna Yatra in the home of Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Mataji. The first Puna Yatra was in 1986, perhaps 20 or 30 devotees attended, and each year consecutively it has been observed. The purpose of this yatra is the purpose of life, which is the purification of the heart. That which differentiates the human being from the lower species is the opportunity for self-realization. Srila Prabhupada explained self-realization in such simple and natural words that Krishna consciousness is the original consciousness of every living entity. But somehow or other this consciousness has been forgotten. The purpose of human life is to awaken our original nature. That nature is to love Krishna. Everyone is seeking the pleasure of love. Birth after birth after birth, but never finding true satisfaction. When that propensity is redirected from the temporary, superficial things and relations of this temporary world, again toward Krishna, the source of everything, then our desires are eternally fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya taught, Cheto Dharapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, that the heart is like a mirror. The purpose of mirror is to reflect the image of oneself. But when that mirror is covered by lifetimes of dust, dirt, and debris in the form of material attachments and misconceptions, then that is all we see through the mirror of the heart, is our material misconceptions. Thus, the Atma, the soul, that is residing within the heart, cannot see itself, cannot see the true treasure of its longing. But rather, the soul simply sees the upadis, the artificial impositions, that I am this body, and those things in relation to the body are mine. Janasya mohoya mahamameti. And under that illusion, we engage in so many activities, the influence of the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. We are driven by our unfulfilled spiritual needs to engage in activities for sense enjoyment. Then these modes of nature, which are like ropes, drag us into various thought patterns, various words, and various activities. And for every act, there is an equal corresponding reaction. The laws of karma, we become further bound each word and with each act. And those three modes of material nature pull us farther and farther and farther from our original needs. And we see in this world so many different types of people. There is pious philanthropists. There is, on the other extreme, murderous terrorists. What is impelling them to act accordingly? Essentially, it's the desire to taste the love of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita explains, according to the modes of material nature we are under, we are covered in various degrees. Some people are looking for that loving relationship with Krishna through intoxications, through gambling, through meat eating, through illicit sex, even through crime and murder. In the age of Kali, there is so much deep forgetfulness and corruption. But Srila Prabhupada's message is so simple, and it is for everyone. What you are really looking for is pleasure. No one can argue with that. And the ultimate pleasure is love. No one can argue with that. And true love is eternal and unlimited. And that is the love that we can only find when we repose our natural propensity in Krishna. Yes, bhakti yoga is the natural process. Jivera swarupoi krishnera nitya das. We are eternally servants of Krishna. Service is the means by which we express love. In the mode of ignorance, we express love through grotesque and obscene ways. In the mode of passion, it gets a little better. In the mode of goodness, we express love by selflessly serving the object of our love. But beyond that, the transcendental state of love is selfless service to the Supreme. Krishna is all attractive. He possesses all knowledge, all strength, all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Everything everyone is looking for in happiness is perfectly, unlimitedly, and eternally in Krishna. Krishna, Prabhupada explained, is the reservoir of all pleasure. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matbhava jante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that he is the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. When Krishna speaks these words, he's speaking in compassion, mercy, and love for every living being. Krishna descends to this world again and again and again to call his lost children back home, back to Godhead. In the age of Kali, the Lord appears in his most munificent, most merciful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai gora chandra. Sava avatara tarasya romani kevala ananda kanda. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda who are the presiding deities of our Punyatra, they are most merciful. Their kindness is beyond even all other avatars, including Lord Sri Krishna, the origin of all avatars. Why? Because without discrimination, they are giving everyone opportunity to taste the sweetness of the love of Vrindavan, the ultimate treasure of the heart, through such a simple and happy process. Kevala Anandakanda. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Krishna's holy name, Krishna's katha, the narrations about his pastimes and teachings, are none different than himself. They are impregnated with all of his divine potencies. And because Krishna is all pure, whoever associates with Krishna becomes purified. This very pleasant, simple, and happy process of purification has been given to us by the mercy of the Lord. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, out of his causeless mercy, sacrificed so much to give us this most rare and precious gift of Krishna consciousness. To the degree we are grateful to that great personality and the gift he has given, and reciprocate by expressing our gratitude, we will become supremely fortunate. Actually, good fortune is not selective. Srila Prabhupada explains, like the sun is beaming its rays on everyone, but every living being has the opportunity and free will to either accept it or reject it. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, as the representative of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's causeless mercy, came to this world. He traveled around the planet 13 times, just offering everyone, not considering qualification or disqualification. So rare. Some persons have gone to the West and they give something very compromised to anyone. In fact, one very famous yogi was saying to Prabhupada, there is a cassette tape of this, he said, Swamiji, what you did is impossible. I came from India, and I'm teaching some asanas, some pranayam, some massage, some meditation. That's a very preliminary, basic thing. It's hard to get the Westerners to do that properly. But you're teaching them to sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam praja. To abandon all varieties of duties and surrender to Krishna. You're teaching these four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and to orient 24 hours a day of their lives in the service of the Lord. Yes, this is the perfection. We all know this. But we don't dare to say these things. But not only are you teaching it, but tens and thousands of people are following and they're surrendering to Krishna. No one has dared to do what you are doing. It is glorious. Srila Prabhupada replied with great humility, if it is so glorious, then why are you cheating everyone? Prabhupada gave without discrimination. Actually, even in India, most people who teach these very, very high spiritual truths will only give initiation to people born in Brahmin families. People who are from very, very high culture. But Srila Prabhupada is giving the highest aspiration, Goloka Vrindavan, following in the footsteps of the gopis. The crescendo of all spiritual revelations. And he gave it to everyone and anyone without discrimination. Once the devotees asked Prabhupada, what is our qualification for receiving this gift? And Prabhupada thought and had to answer honestly, you had no qualifications. I made your qualifications. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, this was the mercy of Lord Nityananda. The only price for the highest gift of prema bhakti is just our faith, our willingness to accept it with a grateful heart and reciprocate. Actually, the process of Krishna consciousness is simply the process of love from the beginning to the end. Srila Prabhupada said, in bhakti, the ends and the means are the same. The goal is to love, and the process is by expressing love. In the very beginning stages, how do we express our love? By being grateful. By accepting with whatever faith we can have. And then by reciprocating with an enthusiasm to follow the instructions according to our capacity and to try to render some service. It is done sincerely with the proper aspiration. Then the current of mercy coming through parampara flows upon us. And that is the place where all of our spiritual advancement awakens. We cannot make any spiritual advancement by our own efforts. It is only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and the previous Acharyas, coming through Guru and Vaishnavas. Their mercy is our only qualification. Their mercy is our only hope. And their mercy should be our only aspiration in life. If we have no real love in our heart, then simply acting and speaking with the sincere desire to show the intention of love will be accepted by the spiritual masters and offered to Radha and Krishna. And through that process, we become purified. Many of us have been attempting to practice Krishna consciousness for some years. And we know this process of purification is not always as fast and as easy as we like. But actually, it is so fast and so easy if we just see it in its proper perspective. In previous ages, one would have to practice severe austerities in the seclusion of the jungles and meditate for 60,000 years to get that complete purification of the heart, to awaken bhakti pure bhakti. In previous ages, one had to do unbelievably difficult sacrifices and worship the Lord perfectly for one's whole life. But in the age of Kali, Kaler dosani deirajan asti heka mahanguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha samashita param brajet. The age of Kali is ocean of faults. The propensity to sin, the unwillingness for morality and spirituality is rampant. The association around us in the age of Kali Yuga is so highly contaminating. Therefore, out of the Lord's causeless mercy, He has given us such an easy and quick remedy. Enechi ashadi maya nashi borolaki. Harinam mahamantra lao tumi magi. Bhakti Vinod has prayed in this way. That Lord Chaitanya has come as the supreme physician, and He is declaring to all the world, I have the medicine that will cure the disease of the heart, that is the essential cause of all suffering. What is that medicine? This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It purifies, it awakens love of God. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra works so quickly and with such power because all the opulences of the Lord are within the name. Simply, we must be sincere to have a proper service attitude and to guard against offenses. In this short life of 50, 60, 70, at the most 80, 90 years, we can achieve the ultimate perfection. That's nothing. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they both promised us that if we simply, sincerely execute what they have asked us to do, we will go back to Godhead in this life. So yes, it doesn't take so long, but we're so impatient. Even if it takes 90 years compared to 60,000 years, it's so easy. And it's free for everyone. The only price is our willingness and our faith. We have come together here in Pune for this purpose, to further stabilize and increase our faith in the mercy of Guru and Gauranga and our faith in the process of devotional service. We come to get a very deep and powerful spiritual surcharge in our lives that we can take with us for the rest of the year or perhaps the rest of our lives. Pilgrimages are a very important element within the Vaishnava culture. In fact, all the various sampradayas of the Vedic culture. Therefore, our great acharyas have established places of pilgrimage. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally comes to the world to establish these places of pilgrimage. Srila Prabhupada built temple in Vrindavan. For what reason? So that people from all over the world could come and feel the true experience of bhakti in Krishna's holy place. Such a powerful experience. My dear mother, who just passed on last month, when she came to Vrindavan, we had Harinam Sankirtan to so many places of Vrindavan. Mother, father, and me, we were clapping and chanting Maha Mantra for most of the day. And the last place we came was Krishna Balaram Temple. And my mother and father said, of all the temples, we like everything, but this is the best. They liked the toilet facilities. It was just such an accommodating, clean, and place that was inviting, even to people who were from a very, very other culture. And that was Prabhupada's idea, to create such a wonderful atmosphere in Vrindavan that people from all over the world and all over India can come and really feel this is their home. Srila Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is my home. Prabhupada is our spiritual father, or for some, grandfather, and in the future, great-grandfather. Therefore, yes, the Krishna Balaram temple and the little rooms at Radha Damodar is the ancestral home for all of us. It's the home of our father, Prabhupada. And Krishna tells, Aham Bija Pratapita, he is the supreme father of all living entities. Vrindavan is everyone's home. Srila Prabhupada is attracting millions and millions of people to the culture of Vrindavan. Prabhupada established a wonderful temple in Sri Mayapur Dham with great difficulty. And he called all of his disciples to Sri Mayapur Dham every year for a festival. Yes, all of our acharyas understand the importance of pilgrimages. Narada Muni, he's always on pilgrimage. And Vyasadeva, he lived in Vrindavan, he lived in Badrikashram, he lived in so many places of pilgrimage, of the Lord's Leela. And Madhvacharya, several occasions he traveled to all different holy places. He traveled throughout practically all the holy places of India, as did his disciples. And we read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Madhavendra Puri was always on pilgrimage, going to various holy places. As was Ishwarapuri, who was his servant. And Nityananda Prabhu for 20 years was going to holy places of pilgrimage. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself, who's teaching us how to be a devotee by his own example. He went to all the places in South India, and his great longing, he visited Vrindavan. He resided in Jagannath Puri, Navadvip, went to Kurukshetra. What is the purpose of pilgrimage? Once in New Vrindavan, 1976, Prabhupada was giving a class. He was very sick that day. Actually, every day devotees would come. Only about 30 or 40 were allowed each day, so it wouldn't become too big. And they came each day to sit in a garden with Srila Prabhupada, and for about 2 hours he would speak. He did this every day for about 2 weeks. But one day he was ill, so he didn't come out of his room. And it was raining and cold. So all the devotees were very unhappy. They came to the door of his house, and they went away. Devotees were crying because they couldn't see Prabhupada that day. Such a rare opportunity. He only came once every 2 years. And Prabhupada understood the hearts of the devotees. So as they were walking down the street, Pradyumna Prabhu called them all back in. So all came back in. And Srila Prabhupada sat, but he wasn't able to speak. He just asked Pradyumna Prabhu to read from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the evils of Kali Yuga. And he was reading, and Prabhupada was sitting. And Prabhupada got so excited. Everything Pradyumna said, Prabhupada started giving very powerful purports to. I remember one where he said that in Kali Yuga, people will go on pilgrimage to bathe in the river of a holy place without associating with the saintly persons. And Prabhupada said, yes, see, the Ganga is flowing in Calcutta, and people will go all the way to Hardwar with much money, expenses, and difficulties. For what purpose? To bathe in the Ganga. The purpose of pilgrimage is to associate from holy people and hear from them. It is the holy men that actually reveal the truth of the holy places. So Srila Prabhupada inspired us, as did all of our great acharyas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Brajmandala Parikrama with tens and thousands of people. Navadvip Mandala Parikrama, thousands and thousands of people. The essence is to come together, to exclusively focus our hearts on the purpose of life, to put everything else aside. There is a time for our family concerns. There is a time for our occupational needs. There was a time for all of these temporal, domestic aspects of life. But when we come on pilgrimage, the idea is we put our full focus of consciousness on Krishna, to purify our hearts, to really strive to gain that higher taste. Attraction to the holy name is what we must all be longing for, praying for, and aspiring for. Why? Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. In the age of Kali, there is no other means of perfection except through the chanting of the holy names. To the extent we develop a taste for the holy names, param drisvani vartate, we will lose our attractions for the sources of bondage in this world. And how do we develop that taste for the holy name? By hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. We will be here in Pune for just about 3.5 days, almost 4 days. During this time, let us make a very sincere and firm resolution within our hearts that we will utilize every precious moment of this opportunity to immerse our consciousness in hearing the glories of Krishna and his devotees and chanting the holy names. That we'll immerse our consciousness in the spirit of service. service to each and every other devotee that is here. And how can we serve? By our enthusiasm. By our enthusiasm to hear. We actually create an environment that enthuses others to hear. By our enthusiasm to chant, enthusiasm to dance, we will inspire others for that same great virtue. And by our enthusiasm to apply the principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sunichena Tador Ibasihishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. To live amongst one another in the spirit of being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Vaishnav culture is where each devotee wants to put every other devotee before him or herself. To consider the needs of another Vaishnav as more relevant than our own. That is the spirit of service. To find the greatest happiness in seeing someone else happy with Krishna. Prabhupada simply defines that is what a Vaishnava is. A person who is selfish is a person who has envy. Selfishness means my needs are first. I am first. And others should serve me. My happiness is what really counts. For me to get blessings and mercy is what's really relevant. What Prabhupada defines Vaishnav is when we are happy to see another person progressing. Happy to see another devotee getting blessings. Happy to see another devotee happy. That happiness in our heart makes Krishna happy. And when Krishna is happy, he bestows his great mercy upon us. Material competitiveness of trying to push someone else down and put ourselves up is contradictory to our actual needs. Because it does not please Krishna. Samsadir Hari Toshanam. The purpose of everything we do is to please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna? When we are happy to see others happy with Krishna. When we are happy to see other people getting the mercy of Krishna. When we are happy to see other people making great spiritual progress. When we are happy to see other devotees Haribo. That happiness in our heart makes Krishna happy, and his happiness is our only hope for spiritual progress. So that is the principle. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed. He is not concerned with being identified as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprast, or Sannyas. There is always historically various battles between the castes and the ashrams due to false ego. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, my only identity, my only aspiration, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas, to be the servant, the servant of the servant of the servant. The insignificant, infinitesimal, atomic-sized servant. How wonderful. The smaller we think we are, the greater Krishna sees we are. The greater we think we are, the smaller Krishna sees we are. That is spiritual logic. But being servant of the servant not only means in our actions and our words, but in our attitude. Srila Prabhupada has explained that Krishna sees the purpose in which everything is offered to him. Krishna does not accept simply what we do or what we say. People of this world may accept those things, but Krishna, who is the witness within our heart of hearts, accepts our intention. He accepts our attitude of why we are speaking and why we are acting what we do, the way we do. So servant of the servant is really a disposition of consciousness that we want to bring everyone up. We want to see everyone happy with Krishna. This is the attitude, Prabhupada explains, of the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha atmosphere, where every devotee is thinking, every other devotee is better than me. Let me serve them and make them happy. So for these 4 days, let us perform the austerity of living by these principles. Prabhu Krishna says in Gita, what tastes like nectar in the beginning, which is to enjoy, to be glorified, to be honored, it tastes like deathly poison at the end. Simply frustration. But what tastes like nectar, poison in the beginning, which is to be humble, like a blade of grass, to be tolerant, like a tree, especially if you're in a room with 30 people sharing the same bathroom. To be tolerant, like a tree, to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, that's poison to the false ego. But it tastes like nectar in the end, because it awakens love of God. It awakens a genuine taste for the chanting of the holy name. So let us really contemplate, meditate, and concentrate on living by these principles while we are here amongst the Vaishnavas. I believe there's almost 2,000 devotees who are here this year. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing of Srila Prabhupada that he has given us each other. Let us serve each other in this spirit with enthusiasm. Let our goal be to make all other devotees happy with Krishna. And let us intensely focus our consciousness on Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. Krishna is revealing himself through these two processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Throughout the Punyatra, really there'll be nothing happening except Hari Katha all day and Hari Kirtan. Be prepared. Let us really, really try to dive deeply into the nectarine ocean of Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha. It is our life. This year is very special. 2004 is the year in which we will celebrate His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's 108th birthday. Srila Prabhupada appeared in Calcutta by the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev in Calcutta. And how he lived in a spirit of love and compassion for all living beings. That will be the subject of this year's Puna Yatra. By Srila Prabhupada's very great loving kindness upon us, he has sent many of his intimate associates to speak about his compassion. This Puna Yatra has been dreamt of and planned for many years. This year, it has fructified, this dream, that we have three of the original members of the Hare Krishna movement who work together to serve Srila Prabhupada in the most intimate and incredibly successful ways. I would like to introduce them just now. We have our Gurudas Prabhu. Gurudas Prabhu came to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in 1967 in San Francisco. I'm especially indebted to Gurudas Prabhu because you know the story that in 1971 at the Cross Maidan Pandal in Bombay, Gurudas Prabhu came through a crowd of about 25,000 people. I was way in the back and he took me by the hand and said, Prabhupada wants you to come and sit with him on the stage. And I was very much not wanting to go there, because I was just coming from the solitary cave Himalayas. That's why I was sitting in a back corner. For me to sit on the stage was terrible culture shock. I said, how does Prabhupada know about me? And he didn't say a word. He just took me by the hand and pulled me through the whole crowd of 25,000 people and brought me to Srila Prabhupada on the stage. And Prabhupada smiled and offered me a seat next to him. So I am forever indebted to our beloved Gurudas Prabhu, because he was the instrument in which Srila Prabhupada first connected me to his divine association. Let us welcome Gurudas Prabhu with very, very great enthusiasm. We also have with us Shamsundar Prabhu. What can we say about Shamsundar Prabhu? We can speak for the rest of Puna Yatra about these celebrated personalities. He also joined in 1967 in San Francisco. And actually, he's the one that organized the Bombay Cross Maidan Pandal program and did the advertisement. He's the one who put that poster up that I saw that brought me there. So he was instrument to bring me to the Pandal in the first place. But Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Gurudas Prabhu, I'll speak a little about the three of them together, and Malati Mataji, they established the San Francisco temple with Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki, the second temple of ISKCON. They invited Prabhupada, where they just had a small little storefront on Frederick Street in the Haight-Ashbury district, which was a different type of place of pilgrimage for hippies. Somebody asked Prabhupada in a press conference, "What is a hippie?" And Prabhupada said, "Something extraordinary." And it was they that organized the Khan Ballroom. Yes? How many people came? Thousands. Thousands of people. And the most famous bands of America, music bands, agreed to play for free. There's no use saying their names because you don't know. At least you're not supposed to know here in India. The most famous bands. Any one single band fills tens and thousands of people coming to big, big auditoriums or stadiums to see. And there was about six of them that all played one after another just to help raise funds for the Hare Krishna temple. Yes? Just to give people the opportunity to meet Prabhupada. And they were all what they call the warm-up acts. The main act was Srila Prabhupada's kirtan and lecture. And so many people came and became devotees that one night. It was extraordinary. Prabhupada was so pleased. So pleased with these three grihastha couples' dedication. We know that his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sent his very, very best preachers and sannyasis to London to establish Krishna consciousness. But there was not much success. So Srila Prabhupada always had in his heart to develop London. And who did he send? He sent Gurudas Prabhu, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj, Malati, Jamuna, Janaki. And how he taught them to go there, and what instructions, and what they had to do to establish a center, we will hear in the next few days. And I can tell you that much of what you hear is not in the books. You will get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth without any editorials. Yes. And it was these wonderful personalities that approached George Harrison and the Beatles, most powerful, influential, and famous people in the entire Western world at that time. And through George Harrison's love for these devotees and for Srila Prabhupada, they had number one records. They even traveled throughout Europe the Radha Krishna temple. And people were hearing the Maha Mantra and beautiful bhajans from the lips of devotees all over the world by their efforts. Just yesterday I learned something new, which I'd like to share with you, that the name Radha Krishna Temple, that is very famous all over Europe, would you like to know the original name of that band? In San Francisco, they were named Malati and the Dancing Gopis. Part of their act was they had dogs. What they did in London was so pleasing to Prabhupada. It shook the whole world. At that time, it was the most successful project in the entire Hare Krishna movement. The type of preaching, the type of people who were coming and becoming devotees, the influence on the society was incredible. By the loving devotional efforts of the people who are amongst us today. Srila Prabhupada desired to really establish the Hare Krishna movement in India. So after London was very solid, very successful, very secure, he called for Shamsundar Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj, and their three wives, Malati, Janaki, and Jamuna, to be in his original party to help him establish bhakti in India. In fact, Shamsundar Prabhu was the first temple president of Bombay. Yes? You are? No? That's what I was. It was a democracy. Gurudas Prabhu, you were the first president of Vrindavan? That affirmed. Gurudas Prabhu was the first president in Vrindavan. Shamsundar Prabhu was Prabhupada's personal secretary. How many years? 2 years. He traveled with Prabhupada constantly. Such intimate association, helping Prabhupada answer his letters. I remember Srinathji Prabhu took us to Kartikeya Mahadevya's home. And his son, Kirtan, came out with Prabhupada's typewriter. Typewriter that Prabhupada used for his own personal purposes, traveling all over the world. He stayed at the Mahadevya's home for some time and actually gave them the typewriter after he left. Yes? Sold it to them. When Shamsundar Prabhu saw that typewriter, he went into a state of ecstasy. And I was the witness. Do you remember Srinathji Prabhu? He said, "That's the typewriter! That's it! That's it!" I carried that typewriter all around the world for 2 years for Srila Prabhupada. I typed all of Prabhupada's letters. He would dictate and I would type his letters on that typewriter. When Srinathji heard that, he offered Kirtan Mahadevya a first-class state-of-the-art computer in exchange for this old outdated royal electric typewriter. And Kirtan Mahadevya replied, "If you bought me a brand new 747 jet, I would not give this typewriter away." Prabhupada typed. And then Shamsundar Prabhu had a reunion. We got a piece of typing paper and he typed on that. He knew exactly every key. He didn't even use his eyes. Same ribbon. Let us offer our very, very enthusiastic welcome to Shamsundar Prabhu. And Mati Devi, is she here? She was on airplane all night, so she's resting. We will welcome her tomorrow. So during our Puni Yatra, these three great personalities, Gurudas Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, and Malati Mataji, will churn the nectar of their loving remembrances of Prabhupada right before our eyes and ears. We'll start tomorrow morning, and we'll have probably at least three or four sessions just of them just speaking. They came together, the three of them, in London, and I was witness to part of it. It's incredible. Incredible. When any one of them speak, it's incredible. But when the three of them come together, it's like the difference between solitary bhajan and Maha Harinam Sankirtan. We also have with us one of these senior most preachers of the Hare Krishna movement, His Holiness Naranjan Swami Maharaj. Maharaj came to our movement in the early 70s and has faithfully, steadily, I don't think he's had a day break from his Krishna consciousness in over 30 years. He has been temple president of some of the most important temples of North America. He was training new devotees in New York City, president in Boston. And after he a very determined book distributor, college preacher, and then the leadership of our movement, heartfelt blessings were showered upon him to take sannyas. And he truly captured the spirit of Prabhupada's heart during the communist regime. He was one of the leading preachers in Russia, Ukraine, and other Soviet-influenced countries. Tremendous austerities, determination and dedication. His humility, his very, very expert devotional presentation of our philosophy, just enthralls people's hearts. His beautiful kirtans that just emanate from his very soul just inspire our souls. All over the world, he has love for his classes and his kirtans. And his personality, his humility, his generosity, his compassion, is one of the great historical epics of our sampradaya, in my opinion. And he's also one of my very, very dearest friends. Let us welcome with great enthusiasm His Holiness Naranjan Swami Maharaj. also have His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. He came in 1973 to New Vrindavan. In fact, I was there the first day he arrived. And just never deviated from his dedicational offerings to Srila Prabhupada all these years. Very humble, unassuming, just the true Vaishnava in every sense. Over the years, he's traveling all over the world, inspiring people by his wonderful qualities, by his kindness, his generosity. Chandramali Swami is really the well-wisher of everyone. He just has such a non-envious quality that he just wants everyone to prosper in bhakti. His wonderful realizations in classes, his incredible enthusiasm to chant and dance are intoxicating to witness. And he's also, for the past 31 years, been very kind to me, one of my dearest friends in life. Let us very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj. And we have Yadubar Prabhu. Yadubar Prabhu is one of the great legends in the history of ISKCON. He, 1970, you came? In 1970, he came to Srila Prabhupada. It's very interesting. Yadubar Prabhu was photojournalist, yes. And he was given a job to do a photojournal essay of the Hare Krishna movement in 1970. They asked him to go to New Vrindavan, New York, and Japan. L.A. Gotcha.
He was in New York.
New York.
Absolutely.
And
L.A.
L.A. and New Vrindavan. And that was how he first met devotees. And he became so attracted by the association that he went to India to meet Srila Prabhupada. And along with his good wife, Vishakha Mataji, they immediately became transformed by Prabhupada's love and kindness, by the philosophy that he spoke, and they surrendered to him. They traveled with Srila Prabhupada as his personal photographers to various places of the world. Vishakha Mataji, she wrote wonderful books. She's written many articles for Back to Godhead magazine, and some of the most priceless photos of Srila Prabhupada she had taken. Yadubar Prabhu, on Prabhupada's instruction, he produced and filmed videos that were actually used for preaching everywhere in the world in ISKCON. The Hare Krishna world. What was the first one called? The Hare Krishna movement. Hare Krishna people, yes. That was served at every Sunday feast program I mean, that was shown at every Sunday feast program and practically every preaching program for years and years and years. Prabhupada was so pleased with it. He also made a video documentary, New Vrindavan, The Spiritual Frontier, which was showed all over the world. In fact, I wish it was still just like that. We're studying that video to see what we're supposed to be. But Prabhupada was so happy with that. And then later he made video, Vrindavan, Land of Krishna, all about Sri Vrindavan Dham. In many preaching videos. And now he's working on taking all of Srila Prabhupada's footage that has ever been made by anybody and putting it together in chronological order and putting it on DVDs with commentaries by all the devotees that were present during those times that one could actually hear as you're seeing the video. It's a wonderful service. These two devotees, Yadubar, Vishakha, are two of the most exemplary and wonderful grihastha couples in the history of our movement. They've remained faithful to their vows in the service of Srila Prabhupada, dedicated not only to their sadhana, but to preaching the mission. A great inspiration for all of us. And they came with their two wonderful children, Amrita and Hari Priya, who are shining examples of what a wonderful devotee should be. Let us welcome this beautiful family to our yatra with great enthusiasm. We have Lakshmi Moni Devi Mataji. I think you came in the late 60s? 68? 1968. And she has been faithfully, continuously serving Srila Prabhupada since that time. She's accepted such incredible responsibilities. She was married to Jagadish Prabhu, and the two of them served in responsibilities as temple presidents, GBCs. And when her husband took sannyas, she remained very faithful to her vows of renunciation. Tremendous example. At the present, Lakshmi Moni Mataji is in charge of Bhakti Vedanta Academy. Is that it? Vaishnav Academy? Vaishnav Academy for Girls. It's in Alachua, Florida. It's actually an incredible offering to Prabhupada. How many girls in the ashram? 16. How would you like to be the mother of 16 teenage daughters? But she loves to do it. And she's teaching these girls really to love Krishna, to love the culture of Krishna consciousness. She's one of the senior most devotees of our movement. And one of the greatest inspirations by her qualities and by her great sacrifices. We're so very, very grateful that she has come. Let us very enthusiastically welcome Her Grace Lakshmi Moni Devi. Malati Mataji has appeared. Would you like to keep Lakshmi Moni Mataji company? She looks quite lonely on that side. We already explained everything about you. Malati Mataji's, besides everything we have spoken about here, her heroic, enthusiastic, fierce pioneering of the Hare Krishna movement, she's the first lady GBC in the history of ISKCON. And I truly believe that Prabhupada inspired our society to give that position to her in his deep love and gratitude to Malati for all of her wonderful service for so many years to Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas. And she's one of the greatest well-wishers of the devotees of Radha Gopinath Temple. She comes so often. She's like the mother of our temple and all of our devotees. Let us very, very gratefully and enthusiastically welcome Malati Mataji to our yatra. She even gave birth to the first child of ISKCON. She's the original mother of our society. And we have Kirtida Mataji from Amachua. Very wonderful, wonderful Vaishnavi, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Wife of one of my very dear friends, Vidyananda Prabhu. Mother of Saraswati Devi. We'd like to very enthusiastically welcome this very, very generous-hearted and sincere devotee to our yatra. And we have Tilakini, who is also a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. She's been at New Vrindavan since the early 70s, faithfully serving. She comes often, but she hasn't been here for some years. We're very, very grateful she has come back. Everyone, let us welcome her. And besides Tilakini is Cindy, who has come with Gurudas Prabhu. And she's a wonderful special guest, always blissful and so deeply appreciating the mood of the devotees and very kind to me also. We are so happy you have come, Cindy. Let us welcome her too. Much louder, please. Is there any other of our God brothers and God sisters here? A few other special guests. It may be difficult to speak of everyone, but we have...
Gaurav Prabhu. Where is Gaurav Prabhu?
Gaurav Prabhu, you are here? Is Gaurav Prabhu here? Arivo. He's somewhere, but not here. We have Achyuta Priya. A very, very sincere, earnest and surrendered soul. who's come with Damodar Charan, who's also a very, very wonderful Vaishnava. Achyuta Priya Prabhu is the leader of the preaching of the whole country of Ukraine. He and Niranjan Swami Maharaj have been preaching there for many, many years. And actually Ukraine is one of the most successful, dynamic, and blissful countries in the world for Krishna consciousness. It's actually incredible. The simplicity, the enthusiasm of the devotees in Ukraine is practically like nowhere else. Very sincere, very committed. And along with Achyuta Priya Prabhu, I believe 35 devotees have come from Ukraine. Can all of you stand up, please? All of the Ukraine devotees, please stand up. It is such a great honor to all of us that you have come for our Punyatra. Everyone, please very loudly and enthusiastically welcome them. And from Vrindavan we have Braj Bihari Prabhu and Ananda Vrindavaneshwari Devi. Braj Bihari Prabhu for years was a book distributor and then came to Vrindavan, always enthusiastic, always humble, simple, and totally dedicated to Prabhupada's mission. No matter what else happens, he's fixed in his purpose. And now in Vrindavan, he is one of the persons who is coordinating the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education. He's such a sincere, honest, and competent person that the top leaders of our society are continuously coming to him for help. In fact, he is leading the endeavor to establish mediation, the process of mediation within our movement, mediating various problems, and very, very successfully. But most of all, Braj Bihari is a very, very loving, wonderful devotee, very deeply rooted in philosophy, a very glorious disciple of His Grace Purijan Prabhu. And his good wife, Ananda Vrindavaneshwari, is headmaster of the Gurukula in Vrindavan. Very serious responsibility. She's practically single-handedly taking the responsibility to carry on one of Prabhupada's most cherished and important projects. Can you both stand up, please? Mataji, yes. Let us very, very... I feel that Radha Shyam Sundar has sent them from Vrindavan to bless Arya in a very special way. Let us welcome them very enthusiastically. And we have devotees who have come from Italy. Nimai Pandit Prabhu and his good wife Vishnupriya. Purandar Mishra Prabhu and his good wife Sri Sachi Devi. And there is Sri Adwaita Prabhu and his good wife Sita Thakurani. And Parabhakti and Roland and Nikolai, who is Purandarmisha's good son. They've come all the way from Italy just to attend our yatra. Could you all stand up, please? Please let us welcome them.
Arriva! Arriva! Arriva!
Ah, Yajna Purusha Prabhu. Please do not go anywhere. Even when he doesn't stand, it appears that he's standing. Yajna Purusha Prabhu is one of the very illustrious disciples of His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. He was one of the leading book distributors in America for many years, teaching others. And now he has taken one of the most cherished projects of Srila Prabhupada, his heart and soul, preaching in Manhattan Island in New York City. There was very little preaching there for many years, but he established a brahmachari ashram there and developing a beautiful congregation, developing a nice ashram, and his sincerity is melting the hearts of the people of New York City. That's not an easy thing. If you think it's difficult living in Chopati, Bombay, live in his ashram in Manhattan in the Lower East Side of New York. It's where Prabhupada started. Very, very heavy modes of passion and ignorance in all directions. For a brahmachari to be living in that place and giving his life to preaching Krishna consciousness is something that we should all be eager to honor by touching his lotus feet. Would you like to stand up, Prabhu? Let us very enthusiastically welcome Yajna Purusha Prabhu. Anyone else? If there's anyone else, we will... Actually, there is. There's 2,000 others. I'd like to welcome all of you. It looks like an ocean of bhakti when we look out into this crowd. I'm especially grateful to each of you. You have come to give 4 of the days of your life to make this wonderful Puna Yatra a lifetime experience. And I want to thank all of you for your wonderful dedication and loyalty to Srila Prabhupada's service. So now everyone, raise your arms and very enthusiastically you can welcome everybody else except yourself to the Puna Yatra. Thank you very, very much. At this time, if any of the devotees on this asanas would like to speak some words of encouragement to this wonderful group of Vaishnavas, please do so.